You got a man on your mind. You got a way University, 88.3 KBYS Lake Charles.
You're listening to Lake Charles Best Sports Show with Matt, Corey, Jason, Ryan, and Chad on KBYS 88.3 and worldwide on KBYS.fm. Your home for McNeese Sports.
Touchdown McNeese State on a pick six of 98 yards.
Going deeper, Darius Crowley beats his man.
Good morning. It looks like we're back to some Louisiana winter weather out there this morning.
It rained all night. I was just thinking, like, you know, if it was freezing cold last night, we'd have a ton of snow. So
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, we're back to that Louisiana weather. Get all excited. We're also back to, you know, the doldrums of nothing but football really right now. I mean, there's not even college football, really. I mean, I guess there were a couple bowl games.
Well, we had the bowl games yesterday.
Yeah, how many of those were you excited to watch?
None,
yeah. That's what I thought. And then Saturday night NFL as well as Thursday night NFL.
How many of those games were you excited to watch?
None of it.
None
of it. All the fantasy players I had that played any of those games all put up awful games.
No, my fantasy is screwed after the points that Chad put up last week.
Oh, well, you can't touch Chad.
Chad put up 168 points last week. Well, that's ridiculous.
Like I said, Chad's got the unbeatable teams. We're all just playing for second.
I beat him the week before.
Must have been a barely.
Yeah, I demolished him the week before.
But yeah, no.
I embarrassed him, and then he turned around and embarrassed me. Because, well, I mean, basically, what happened was with the performance of Matt Ryan on the first part of the day, you know, that Thursday night game, you know, throwing the three interceptions in a row, that just demolished any points for Matt Ryan. And then Alvin Kamara gets his concussion, so I only get 5 points out of him. You know, that's one that I typically get a good 20 points out of. You know, and so, yeah. And then, I mean, just every single one of his players goes off for 20-plus points, and I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So hopefully he has my kind of week this week, which I doubt it. But, you know, he's winning like 168 to like 120. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's now up to 225 points.
Yeah, like I said, you know, Chad's got the team, dude. It's just it's kind of tough. You know, like if you beat him once, then you got lucky. It was probably when Kamir Hunt was having a bad, like, little stretch of things.
Okay, Kareem Hunt got almost 40 points yesterday.
That's what I'm saying, dude. I mean, I know, and I got stuck with a Golden Tate performance, which was probably the worst Golden Tate performance of the year. So that was awesome. I was so excited for that. Got stuck with probably the worst Hunter Henry performance of the year as well. You know, so my fantasy team looking fantastic. And then what, Leonard Fournette might not play today, I keep hearing. Everybody keeps telling me Fournette might not be in.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're not even in the playoffs.
This is my big money league playoff.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
It's my big money league. This is all the jelly beans playoff. You know? I mean, so it's not a lot of fun.
this is going to be two fantasy seasons in a row. Because, like, I was in the playoffs for baseball as well. And it's two fantasy seasons in a row that it's me, Chad, and Jason, and I have to settle for third with those two.
Yeah, you're not going to beat Chad or Jason. Like I said, just not. It just doesn't happen. And if you do, then I'm having a good year. No, that's usually how it works out. Like I said,
I think if I was playing Jason, I'd be doing okay right now.
I think Jason and I tend to, when we play together in leagues, one of us tends to win and the other one tends to miss the playoffs, or we both place or something, and that's how it's happening this year. Jason's taken over every league that I've been awful in.
And then the only game I got right yesterday was Troy in my pick'em.
What, so. you didn't pick Mitsu? It's the only game I think I missed in my pick'em.
No,
yesterday.
I took Arkansas State.
I picked Western Kentucky was the only one I think I missed yesterday. Otherwise, I went 5 for 4 or 5 or 5 or 6, whatever.
Hey, Oregon tried to make that a game yesterday.
Yeah, so. But come on, did you really pick them over Boise State?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my gosh. They don't even have a coach right now, you know? I mean, I guess they technically do, but
That's just because nothing in me will ever pick Boise State. Which, hold on, did anyone actually watch that game yesterday?
Like I said, I didn't.
Because they got the they got the Statue of Liberty revenge play. You know, like Oklahoma, I guess, hopefully they were watching and they're all sitting there laughing. Because they tried to do the Statue of Liberty again, except the quarterback puts it too high and, like, smacks his player in the face with the ball. And so they end up fumbling it. And Oregon picks it up and takes it back for a touchdown. And, you know, all. And then, of course, the highlight that comes right after is the Oklahoma Fiesta Bowl or whatever bowl that was when Boise State did their thing. So,
all right. So, like I said, we got a great show for you today. You're listening to Lake Charles' best sports show here, right here. We're a little after 9 o'clock on 88.3 KBYS. I know sometimes we take a break for the music. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we take a break right in the middle of your favorite songs. You never know what we're doing over here.
Yeah, that hard opening sorts of is just like...
I love it. Hey, look, if you ever lose your faith in me, you can call right in, 337-475-5678, and I will restore my faith in you. That's right. If you ever lose your faith in me, I'll restore my faith in you.
Apparently people think I sing our top of the hour song every week.
So. That too. So we have a great show. Like I said, we got all sorts of stuff. We'll have Kathy, our homeschool mom, movie maven, coming on a little bit. We're going to talk about the new Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it. I loved it.
I mean, Bryce, you go see it too? Oh, Bryce, you're the only guy. All right, well, that's allowed. Casey, myself, Corey, and I'm sure Kathy also, and I'm sure we'll have things to talk about.
What was awesome was because I went to the very first showing of it, they had this 20-minute documentary at the beginning of it of chronicling all the years of John Williams writing the music for Star Wars. And to me, that made everything worth it because I'm a huge John Williams fan. For those of you that have been listening to this radio station since its beginning, you know I had my Friday night at the movie show where I played movie themes, and every single week, I didn't care what the theme was, I found a way to incorporate a John Williams. In fact, my very first show was 100% John Williams, and so getting to watch that documentary almost made the entire movie worth it for me. So
that's right. Leonard Fournette is officially out today, by the way. So all you Leonard Fournette owners who needed him in your fantasy playoff game, I'm sorry. You can call and commiserate with me. They look right there. There's a phone call. That might be all Kathy. Right. Let's see what's going on here today. Oh, man.
KBYS.
Hey, you guys ready to talk movie gents? It's movie maven.
Yeah, we're always ready, especially because we're all caught up.
Star Wars.
We're all caught up.
All right, everybody's psyched up, huh?
Speaking of psych, I did watch the psych movie.
Oh, you God, did? God. Did you like it?
I did. I enjoyed it.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Had you been a psych fan before?
Yes, I was.
Oh, good. So yeah, a lot of those in jokes meant something to you, like pineapple.
Oh yeah, no. Everything there was great. You know, it was nice to have a little bit of psych back again.
Yes, I enjoy that. They're playing in four more movies.
Yeah, so
they just can't let some characters die. They just can't. They're like, we're just gonna keep making movies. Oh God. Oh, that's what happens when you have 300 channels and nothing to watch. Oh gosh.
Well, I heard y'all talking a little bit about the special event. I heard some of what you were saying. They were doing a documentary on John Williams' music, who is absolutely amazing. You know, they have been referring to the Star Wars soundtrack as the Star Wars Symphony quite seriously since we were in college.
Oh, yeah, yeah, ever since he started with the London Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. It deserves it. I mean, it is, I think, I have a music degree, and I think it is of the same quality as, you know, any of the other tone poems or... it's not necessarily the standard structure of a classic symphony, but it's certainly with the more open formats of modern day, it definitely fits into the quality.
Absolutely. And I was a French horn player. And
so is my grandpa.
So the way that he uses the French horn in all of his symphonies, and I love the cello, and that's one of his go-to instruments. And so, I mean, everything about it I love. I actually had the opportunity whenever they were doing the Star Wars in concert that started over in the O2 Arena in London and then started touring the United States. I actually got the opportunity to see it when it came to Houston, and basically they had the full live orchestra playing with the movies playing in the background.
With and the clips from the movie? Oh, yeah, that with is clips. Neat.
And it was actually narrated by Anthony Daniels. Anthony Daniels was there.
C-3PO, for anybody yes. who doesn't know.
Yeah, for anyone that doesn't know, that's who plays C-3PO. Anthony Daniels was there narrating the whole thing with the full orchestra in the background. It was the nice coolest thing that I've ever been to. Yes.
Poor guys.
So, I guess we'll go to, you did go see the movie, right?
Oh, goodness, yes. Okay. I went to see that, and then I have a little surprise for the end. Just something off the wall.
Well, let's do the surprise, too. So if you, or first, let's do the surprise.
I hope it's first in the end.
Oh, really? You want to do the surprise first?
Yeah, there's going to be a whole, you know, I got to regulate this Star Wars conversation, I think, you know. So we're going to go with the surprise first so we can keep the Star Wars thing in a proper
okay,
manner.
If you want to, sure. I saw a movie that came out in 2016 that I would be surprised if you guys had heard of, because it did not get a lot of press, although it was very clever. It's called Colossal with Anne Hathaway. It's available on Amazon Prime and video and streaming, probably, you know, DVDs too, I'm sure. It's about, I don't know if you've seen the previews for that. It's about a woman. She's an alcoholic. She's a party girl. She's living with her boyfriend, who's kind of a facilitator of her problem ways, but even he finally gets sick of it and kicks her out. She goes back to her hometown and discovers by accident that if she is in this one particular playground, in this one particular spot, at 8:05 in the morning, and get ready for this, a monster, the Godzilla-sized monster appears in South Korea, which imitates every movement that she makes. Of course, she doesn't realize this until she happens to be the playground, go home, oh my goodness, there's this monster, which has attacked Korea for like 5 minutes. Then she, you know, wanders to this park again, and she makes some gestures, and then she remembers, wait a minute, this monster was making the same gestures, doing the same body language I was, and she becomes horrified because this monster is wreaking havoc on South Korea. And it's what I thought an amazing analogy. And I saw the trailers and I was hoping they would do this, and that is what they did. It's an amazing analogy for what people who have addictions and problem personalities and abusive relationships, what they do to other people without even knowing. And of course, wreaking havoc on Seoul, Korea, exactly the other side of the world where she can't see it. It is as though she has turned her back on the problems or didn't even realize what she was doing. And when she is made aware of it, she has to face her problems, the havoc, the destruction that she is wrecking around other people. Then one of her hometown friends discovers that he can do it too. Then they remember some personal issues they had when they were kids, and the whole thing spirals into a her dealing with old issues, challenges, and why she became the problem child that she is now, and her growing out of leaning on dysfunctional relationships. But it's funny, too. It's Anne Hathaway. She's the one that was in Les Mis and Princess Diaries and The Devil Wears Prada. And Jason Sudeikis, if I'm pronouncing that right, plays Oscar, who's the problem friend, who's also an alcoholic in her hometown. He was an SNL Saturday Night Live standard. And then Dan Stevens plays her original boyfriend, Tim, who was kind of a facilitator. He was the one that was in Beauty and the Beast and recently in Marshall that I, you know, praised his performance in. So, yeah, it's a different kind of little movie, and I think it's worth a view.
Okay, I had seen that on, like, Hulu and Netflix, and I had seen the cover there.
You saw
some
of the trailers.
No, I just saw the title of it there, and it kind of piqued my interest, but I never actually fully watched it.
I mean, there's
it's worth the watch.
For one thing, there's one thing that gives it cred for me, and that's the fact that the director or the writer is also the writer director of Time Crimes, which is a pretty good movie from from 2007 that I enjoyed. So I'll check it out. I like Time Crimes a lot. I don't really like Anne Hathaway. She bugs me. There's something about it.
She could be good in the right
Same
role.
With Jason Sudeikis.
She
that
was
guy
heartbreaking as Fantine in Les Mis.
And yeah.
That really weird music mouth, that large jaw, the big mouth that a lot of really brilliant singers have, like Bette Midler and Carly Simon. I really do like the way she sings. She was amazing in Les Mis.
Maybe it's just all the roles she's had. They've all been all those princess roles and whatnot, like... Was it Enchanted and then all the Princess Diary movies? I feel like she typecast herself into this. She pigeonholed herself for me. Like, I just can't
she
get into it.
She did a brilliant job in Les Mis, though. She certainly wasn't a princess in that one.
Yeah. If you want to see a movie where she's not a princess, go watch Havoc.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, Les Mis, like I said, yeah, she was decent in Les Mis, but I thought it was overblown as well. It was a short, small part, and she got the Oscar for it. That was one of the most undeserving, I thought, Oscars. I don't know. Not a big fan of Anne Hathaway. Just
I
not.
In the right role.
I mean, I'm sure, like I said, I'll give this one a chance more because I like the writer-director, Nacho Vigladona, or something like that. Yeah, he's, like I said, some foreign dude, Nacho, that's his first name, so you gotta like that.
I know!
So, but Time Crimes is a really good movie I don't think anybody watched, but I'm a big fan of
I'm gonna give that, and I'll give Time Crimes a try.
Yeah, I like time travel movies, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but it's fun, so. All right, so, Star Wars. I got to figure out how to approach this correctly. It's only been out a couple days. We can't spoil it for anybody.
Yeah, no spoilers.
So here maybe is the better question. We'll start this first. We'll do a little round robin since all four of us have seen it, except for Bryce. I'm sorry, Bryce. You can't be part of this conversation. So just on a basic level, did you enjoy it, Corey?
Yes, absolutely.
Did you enjoy it, Casey?
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
this was my favorite Star Wars movie.
Wow, that's a bold statement with a day and a half to digest.
I am
going to have to watch it a couple more times.
I won't tell people that it was the best one ever because everyone has their own opinion, but this was my favorite.
I'm going to have to watch it a couple more times, but yeah, this one could end up being one of my favorites.
What about you, Kathy? Did you enjoy it on a base level, or was this not your cup of tea?
Well, do you remember when you were laughing at me that Coco was, I just made a few comments about Coco and you said, gosh, that's the shortest review ever. I can beat that with this review. It's Star Wars.
Ah.
That kind of says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, you say that, but I mean, I got friends who I don't like to sit there on Facebook debates, but I have friends going off telling me how this is not a Star Wars movie on eight different
are
levels.
Are they kidding?
Yeah. How is this not a Star Wars movie?
Thank you.
It has every element of a Star Wars movie.
This is like finding an old teddy bear in an attic somewhere. This is the Star Wars that I remember from when it first came out. They went out of their way to use the print for a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. If you notice, the print and the quality of the digital effect for that text on the screen was the same as it was for 1977. It was a little fuzzy, a little weaker, but it was pointed. It was because it's very recognizable. And I just had to laugh out loud in delight when I saw that. And then they put Star Wars on there, and they started with the trumpet fanfare. It's just wonderful. It's Star Wars. If you like Star Wars, you will love this.
Yeah, I can understand not calling Rogue One a Star Wars movie, and that's because that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
They wanted a movie in the Star Wars universe that was not a Star Wars movie. But
the bridge.
But The Last Jedi was a Star Wars movie through and through.
Oh my goodness.
And
yes.
I mean it's the most divisive so far. It's got the lowest Rotten Tomato audience score out of all the prequels. It has the lowest Rotten Tomato audience score out of all the Star Wars movies. It's an extremely divisive movie, which is why I'm happy that everybody here enjoyed it. I was hoping that I would have.
Why it's getting such low ratings.
I mean, I've got ideas, too.
Yeah, but you can't say a lot.
You can't say them without spoiling the crap out of it.
There's a lot of homages to the, I will say this, there, and you can see that from the trailer. There's a lot of homages to all of the other movies. My sons, I went with my two sons, and we kept leaning over going, oh, this is definitely a reference to Empire Strikes Back. This is definitely a reference to Hoth. This is definitely a reference to...
Yeah. To me...
You name it, it sort of ties in and references back to every single one of the previous movies.
To me, what this one did was, because, like, if you look at Force Awakens was, like, a step-by-step repeat of A New Hope. This one was a repeat of Empire without doing it step-by-step.
Yeah.
And I think they did a better repeat of Empire in this one because, yes, they were essentially almost the same movie with a completely different feel. When you left Force Awakens, you're like, oh my God, I just watched New Hope again. You know, but when you left this one, you felt like you watched a new story
dependent leaning on it because they didn't have the confidence of a new story. But with this one, it was as though they were doing deliberate homages.
Yes.
Affectionate references. They were confident in their story in this one. And I think the people who played the different characters, like Rey and Poe and Finn and Kylo Ren, they have stepped into their roles and they're more confident with it.
And honestly, in this one, I liked Finn a lot better. Because I did not like Finn in Force Awakens. Finn drove me nuts in Force Awakens, and I actually enjoyed his character.
And I bet I know why, too.
Can you tell me without
spoilers? Yes, I think... definitely I can do it without doing any spoilers. You know, I try very hard to do that. I think it's because of Guardians of the Galaxy. They have set the gold standard for humor now in sci-fi. If you notice that the Thor franchise went from this sort of dark, brooding, almost medieval Shakespearean to light, funny, tongue-in-cheek. And I think that just feeling and personality has infused itself into a lot of these sci-fis, and Star Wars is no exception.
Yeah,
you got jokes and throwaway lines and just plain old funny moments from everybody, people that you wouldn't even necessarily have expected, who are normally super straight characters. A little like, you remember Wesley Crusher in Star Trek was always super serious?
It would have been
like him suddenly breaking out into song or telling a joke and being actually funny and human. So I think that's why you probably like him, because he was funny. There was, and I'm not doing any spoilers, but there is stuff. These guys walk in and they do a little slapstick or they do a little funny moment.
And I feel like in Force Awakens they tried too hard with Finn. And that's kind of what pushed you away from him, is that, you know, like when he would just go over the top with some of his lines, it's like, dude, shut up. You know, but...
I feel like this is my fear, actually. My fear is that J.J.
Abrams is going to come back.
Is directing the last movie, yeah. That's my biggest fear. It's like, look, I fell asleep the second time I watched The Force Awakens in the theater. Yeah, I mean, look, The Force Awakens, like you said, is a beat-by-beat remake, almost, of A New Hope. It's not very good. Honestly, this second movie, Last Jedi, made me more invested in almost every character except for Rey. Like, I didn't really like Kylo Ren in The Force Awakens. I thought he was a horrible depiction. The whole whiny lightsaber, whatever, like, cutting up the space station or whatever it was.
Yeah, the temper tantrum.
Yeah, that was just, come on, man, you telling me, really? Really? I mean, I can see him having a temper tantrum or something like that, but you're going to tell me he's going to be chopping up like half of a panel of a wall that's probably important to something?
Yeah, because he still has his temper tantrums in this one,
right.
but they're more...
Right, breaking what his temper tantrum this time is much more confined and much more believable, I think. You know, so I wasn't a big fan of Finn. You know, look, Poe wasn't even supposed to make it in the first movie, right? We all know that, right?
Yeah,
Poe got written back in because, what's his face? Oscar Isaac is really good looking and easy on the eyes.
Which, thank God they did, because...
No, he's more entertaining.
He was essential in this movie.
Yeah, no,
he was the only really good thing in Suburbicon.
Yeah, you know, like I said, still haven't seen that. I gotta get to that. Still haven't seen that. But like I said, the first movie, there wasn't any characters you latched onto. Maybe you thought BB-8 was cute and Rey was interesting, you know? Now this second movie, you know, I feel like Rian Johnson has taken these characters. He didn't have a choice. So that's one thing I like to remind all my friends. He didn't have a choice what characters he got to play with in the sandbox. J.J. Abrams created these characters and go, here you go. You know, he's like, oh, great. I don't like this guy or this guy or this guy. I mean, I'll talk to you guys after the show about the one character who I think we all know nobody liked. But we'll talk about that later. But But this, I think the biggest criticism for these movies is these are, what, 35 years in the making, right? Yeah. Or so. All of my friends who grew up with the original trilogy have had 35 years to make up what they think is going to happen.
No. It's been 40 years, 6 months, and 20 days between the premiere of Star Wars A New Hope and Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Right, exactly. It's been 40 years since then. It's been 35 or 34 since... Or 34 years since Return of the Jedi. So since the trilogy ended, it's been, like I said, it's been 35-ish years, we'll just say. You had all this time. And I told my friends, I go, look, if you really cared, you would have gone to Hollywood, you would have got a job in the industry, you would have been a writer, a director, and then when the opportunity came up, it would have been you telling the story, you know? But you didn't care enough. Rian Johnson cared enough. He got to make and go decide what the next Star Wars chapter is. That said, I think it's a very entertaining movie. There's obviously things that would change. I am not a fan of the slapstick, but I understand these are probably still for kids. I got to remember that sometimes. But... I don't remember.
Han Solo provided a lot of the humor in the original. Remember, the droids were they were slapsticky, the Jawas were pretty funny, and Han Solo provided all the snarky comments. I'm just saying that they've distributed that humanizing comic element throughout, more spreading it out to some, giving others an opportunity to do that.
I just feel like, you know, the tone for me was a little different. You know, like, for me, I don't know, I can't think of really anything funny about Empire. Empire had humorous moments, but they were always so tied into the story. Versus, instance, yeah,
you can't remember anything funny from
Empire.
I didn't think they were going to smell worse on the inside.
That wasn't tied into the story. Like I said, that's a funny line, but it's very tied in the story. Versus, the whole reintroduction of Finn scene. I'm just going to say that and leave it at that. When him and Poe are reunited for the first time, That is total comic. That is total comic, all
right? Right. It fits, but it's over the top.
It's one of those ones that I feel like, you know, if you pulled it back a little bit, I feel like it works better, especially...
Maybe. They did push the envelope a bit, but I didn't mind.
I mean, my only problem is because you go tonally from that to the scenes with Kylo, Rey, and Snoke, and how intense those scenes get. For me, that felt slightly unbalanced. Like, when you have that level of slapstick, and then that level of tension...
Maybe it's like the Force. The darker you get, the lighter you have to go on the other side.
No. No, like I said, totally for me, that might be my one criticism, is totally I didn't feel like the movie felt 100% in the same tone, you know? But otherwise, I was pretty much for it.
So. No, it wasn't the same tone. It was lighter. in the light parts, it was lighter.
Which is why I made the dark parts a little harder to... Like I said, it's harder to buy Kylo Ren when they're slapstick, I guess. Maybe that's what it is. Because he then becomes a pastiche or a characterization of an angry character versus an actual angry character. Maybe that's part of it, when you have that... just for me. But I
do like Rian Johnson's throwaway of the helmet for Kylo Ren. Because that was one of the biggest complaints about the Force Awakens was, you know, Kylo Ren's helmet and stuff like that.
I thought it was who was under the helmet. And I thought everybody loved the helmet. It's just when they took it off, it was like, oh, that guy?
Yeah.
That guy's the darkest, baddest dude in the universe? That
but
guy
I think
is not.
I think once that happened, you couldn't picture him in the helmet again. So the helmet kind of was ruined at that point. It's like, okay, dude, just take it off at this point.
Yeah.
And so when Snoke turns to him and says, take off the stupid helmet.
I can see that. You know, I can see that. I thought the helmet had some, you know, some badness.
No,
to him.
If he kept the helmet on the entire time and we never saw what was underneath the helmet.
Well, I mean, but I think that's important.
Like Darth Vader did.
Yeah.
But I think that's important, at least for the underlings. I can see, like, having to take it off when you're around your bosses. But I think, you know, for the underlings, they don't ever see him with the helmet off, except when he has temper tantrums. All right.
Yeah. Well, with Darth Vader, it was a necessity because he would have died to that. If it was Kylo Ren, it was an affectation.
Yeah. It was an homage to
his grandpa.
Yeah. We gotta see it again. Let's see it again. I have to figure this out. I have to figure it out. Like I said, Casey, your favorite one after a day and a half. It's a lot.
Yeah, well, I've seen all of them, and this one did did a lot for me in terms of the next ones that will be coming out. This, it kept me on the edge of my seat the whole time. It did a very, very, very good job of telling five or six stories in one movie and not making it feel all bunched together.
Yeah.
It did a really good job jumping back and forth. And I think it also did a really good job of who you were just talking about, Kylo Ren. In the first movie, or in the most recent one, it kind of felt like he was played up as this character who was just kind of immortal to certain things. And I feel like this movie kind of humanized him a lot. It kind of brought his character back down to earth, so to speak. And it made his, I want to say a little more relatable, but I think him taking off the mask and we us actually seeing underneath, and I'm trying not to spoil too much, but he showed extra emotions in this movie, and it was good.
Like I said, the development of Kylo Ren in this one, as well as Finn, yes, and Poe, the only one I didn't really feel like got a lot of development was Rey. I felt Rey was very static through the whole movie.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted her to develop more, and
I'm sure... She was supposed to be, though, because she was the person who was trying... I'm trying to say that without spoiling anything. She was the one who was the standard bearer for the Jedi's, for the Force, for the...
I can see that, but she doesn't know anything about it. Like, she can't
be a... It doesn't matter. It's the legend.
She can't be a standard bearer.
Protecting.
I mean, I feel like, you know, like I said, she goes and she does all these things. I feel like she would have more of an emotional reaction, and she does.
She was there to be the development for Luke. And I think that she was the catalyst for his development.
Right. Well, like I said, everybody else, like I said, grew in this movie. But for me, Rey stayed too static when she had a whole bunch of things evolving around her that she should have been reacting to a little more. But there's more Kylo Ren. There's more Finn. There's more Poe. And all their characters are a little more fleshed out. Because, like I said, the whole first Force Awakens movie was about Rey. You know? That's what the whole first movie is about. It's all about Rey. So it's funny for her to take a back seat in this second movie.
Well, think about how much Luke took a back seat in Empire.
And go, well, let's let everybody else have a little development here.
Luke took a huge back seat in Empire.
Luke starts the movie, gets trained in the movie, goes and gets to fights Darth Vader in the movie, and gets turned into Carbonite in the movie. He is all in that movie. What are you talking about? He takes a back seat in Empire. Luke took a back seat in The Force Awakens. That's what he took a back seat in.
Luke is not the main focus in
what
Empire.
What are you kidding? He's by himself on Dagobah training the whole movie. He goes to...
That's very few scenes.
He has the ultimate fight. What are you talking about? He's not the focus.
Rey gets all of those in this movie.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't have some ultimate fight. There's no ultimate fight for her. I'm not trying to ruin the
movie. I
can't tell you where that scene is, there.
We'll talk about it off air, Corey, but I guarantee that she is, like I said, she is not the focus of this movie. This movie is more about Kylo Ren and more about everybody else who's in the other section of the story. It's very little about Rey, and that's, like I said, that's fine, but even Kylo explains
Empire was
wise.
The development of Leia and Han.
Their romance, yes, but they aren't in the movie that much. Like I said, Han is mostly being they're sitting there stuck for a long time in a cave. Then he's being tortured. Then he's in Carbonite. He's in there for three scenes. One, two, three. That's pretty much.
And those
it.
Are very long scenes.
They're not long scenes, Corey. You need to go back and rewatch these movies in time. How long the Dagobah stuff takes with Luke in the cave? Luke on Dagobah before Yoda even admits he's Yoda. There's a whole bunch of Luke time.
There's
man.
Not a whole lot of development of Luke during that either.
You kidding? He's learning how not to be a pompous child.
And he leaves as a pompous child.
Of course he does. But then he, like...
Just like Rey.
Oh, my gosh. But he's in the movie, Corey, and he has the opportunity to change. He has the... You don't have to change to be a static character. You have to have the opportunity to change. And then choose not to. Like Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler. Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler has the opportunity to change and doesn't. You know?
Yeah, that's still, fair. Because
a choice is a choice. Right. But Rey doesn't make any choices in this movie. That's all I'm saying. All right.
Well, she has one job. She wants to do it well, and that's to, you know, talk to Luke.
that's all she's there for. That's it. I mean...
Y'all were talking about emotions. There is one gripe I would have with it, and it's for you it was humor, that you thought there was too much humor. For me, there was too much crying. If you notice, Ray cried a lot. Even Kylo Ren cried a lot. Everybody was crying.
Yeah, yeah. This is the emo generation of Jedi. That is true. That is true. This is the emo generation of Force wielders.
I'm anxious to see what they do with Leia in the next movie.
Yeah, no, because obviously
I didn't want to bring that up without putting spoilers on.
I'm not going to say anything about the movie.
It's much of a spoiler to say that Carrie Fisher has passed away.
Well, yeah. Carrie Fisher passed away, but right. I think everyone thought that they were going to do something about that.
Don't spoil anything from here. Right.
Yeah. Well, I remember in
but let's just leave it. We want to see what they're going to do about Leia.
I want to see what they're going to do with that, with everything. Because so far, as they followed beat for beat with The Force Awakens, you know, and A New Hope, and we can argue how beatish Last Jedi is to Empire. They also took some beats from Return of the Jedi already, in a sense. So I have no idea where... That's one thing, like I said, where I told all my friends, go, say what you want. I have no clue where this third movie is going to go. I don't have a single idea of where it's going to go.
I hope it goes its own direction.
Exactly. I mean, the only thing you know is going to be some sort of showdown between Rey and Kylo Ren, hopefully. Like, that's the only thing you know. But other than that, I have no idea where this next movie goes. And it's open, like it's wide open what he can do. Yeah. You know, it's opened the door for so many possibilities that I'm excited for this third one in a way that I wasn't really excited for this second one before. Yeah. After The Force Awakens, I was like,
Okay, well, here's something that I'm reading right now is Abrams is not writing the third one alone. He has Chris Terrio with him.
Who's that?
Argo in Batman versus Superman in Justice League.
Great. So somebody who's also not a great writer.
Good. I've never even seen Batman vs. Superman, but I heard it was not good.
No, well, look, the problem with the Warner movies, like I said, we'll touch on this real fast. I mean, I've talked about this
many times. Ben Affleck will be in the third movie.
they refuse to let the directors put out what they want. You know, like the Batman vs. Superman Ultimate Edition or whatever is I thought a really good movie. You know, really curious what the Justice League movie would have looked like if they let Zack Snyder make his movie that's supposed to be 3+ hours long. I'm like, no, Zack Snyder, we're going to cut it down to 2. We're going to bring Josh Whedon in to fix it. You know,
well, from what I understand, it was Zack Snyder bowed out because his daughter died.
Well, it was
he was pulled out.
It was a little one of those things. Whenever something happens, I think, you know, and then that's the opportunity to leave. And I was like, oh, well, okay, well, now that happens, I am going to go. You know, I think Zack Snyder knew he was on his way out, and he just took that and ran when it happened. I mean, unfortunately, I don't think, you know, you don't plan on that. But no, I mean, he was ready to be unceremoniously taken out the door anyways. Like I said, the people who run Warner Brothers don't know what they're doing. I'm just waiting for Disney to buy Warner Brothers. That's right. Since Disney has now bought Fox.
Now that they bought Fox, yep.
I'm just waiting for Disney to buy Warner Brothers next.
Well, I'm waiting for NBC next so that Disney owns every sports franchise out there.
No, they can't buy NBC because if they buy NBC, then our wrestling is going to be dumbed down even more. USA is an affiliate of NBC, and we cannot have that, Corey. We cannot have that.
Well, I mean, ESPN owns every other sports franchise now, so... Yeah.
All right. So, what is our movies for next week, Kathy? Are we gonna get Jumanji? Are we gonna see Jumanji movies?
There's a ton of good movies that day. But before we go to the movies, and I forget, I wanted to mention that Immaculate Conception Choir is going to be performing at 2:00 today. It should be beautiful. They're going to do a lot of beautiful Christmas music. So, Immaculate Conception Cathedral downtown. The choir is performing at 2:00.
All right. Good. And you said Christmas music is going to be Christmas music.
Yes.
All right. Immaculate Conception Cathedral at 2:00. That sounds like a lot of fun, especially, like I said, if you like those old Christmas time songs, because you know they sound great coming out of a choir.
They may be, like, really old, like Latin and classical and stuff, too. So, I mean, they've been rehearsing for hours.
The bells or whatever? What's the song called? The
Carol
the Bells? Oh, my gosh. Like, that
they
is...
May be doing, I have not seen... Even though my daughter is in the choir, I haven't looked at the music... But I suspect, given the quality of the choir, this is going to be some very highbrow, classy stuff. But it's going to be absolutely gorgeous.
That's great. I love when a choir does "Carol the Bells" because it's so.
I do too. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's so great. All right, so Jumanji next week, is that what we're doing?
Jumanji, the one I'm looking forward to the most is The Greatest Showman. That's the one about P.T. Barnum. Yeah. Phew. Can't stick my new tongue.
I mean, if you looked Barnum. Into it enough, is that actually going to be a musical, Kathy? Because it looks like they have musical numbers in, so it is going to be a musical.
Yeah, it's going to be a musical. It's not going to be like Les Mis, where everything was sung. This is a standard musical like in Oklahoma or Music Man, where they break into song. Occasionally, appropriately, occasionally, just because they're full of emotion and they break into song and dance.
All right, no, I'm good with that. You know, I like Hugh Jackman. I like when Hugh Jackman performs.
Hugh Jackman does a spectacular job. He is a great showman.
Yeah, he is a great showman. He's great at dancing. He's great at singing. I'm curious. You know, as I said, P.T. Barnum is. I mean, he's one of the American heroes of the early 1900s, right? I mean, the guy made $1 million and lost
pretty much
it five
invented
times.
The circus, the American circus, anyway.
Yeah, and then he got with Bailey, but sucker born every minute. I mean,
yep.
No, I'm excited for that one as well. I think that's going to be a good time, especially. I think it's going to be an uplifting time when you have a musical like that. It looks like it's very. He's going to be like an inspiring sort of musical.
So, yes, and the hair in the back of your neck stands up just by watching the trailer. You know this is going to be awesome.
That's great. That's great. So, and then, Corey's...
Jumanji is the one I'm looking forward to the second most.
Yeah, see,
I think it's going to be a great movie, but because it looks hilarious and I love the original.
I mean, Jumanji has grown on me.
Did you get sucked into a board game?
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to Jumanji.
Jumanji keeps growing on me. I'm excited for Jumanji. I don't know why. Like, I keep feeling like I shouldn't be excited for it, but... I'm excited for Downsizing, too.
That looks good.
You know, I mean...
That looks interesting.
Even with all this, you know, Matt Damon can't say the right thing about the Me Too campaign right now or something like that. But still...
I'm looking forward to illegally watching Pitch Perfect 3.
I can't do it. I love Anna Kendrick, but I cannot do the Pitch Perfect movies.
I love the Pitch Perfect movies. They crack me up.
I can't do it.
I cannot go to a movie theater to see them. I cannot justify paying money to go see
one. I'm not a big fan of the Pitch Perfect.
But,
I'll watch Anna Kendrick in almost anything except for Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
I mean,
the little quiet girl that gets her little one-liners in just cracks me up.
And then there's Father Figures also comes out. And that one was the movie I wanted to see at the beginning of the year, I think. I don't know if this movie took forever to come out, if it got delayed. I wasn't ready for it to come out in December, but it's the...
I don't know, that one,
that one
doesn't excite me.
It looks a bit crass.
Yeah, it looks crass. Like, I thought it was going to be like more of a summer comedy. Like, it feels weird seeing this comedy in December. You know what
it's
I'm saying?
It's not a Christmas movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like it had to have been delayed because I swore this was going to come out in the summer, you know, with...
It doesn't bode well for it, you know.
No, but I mean, Owen Wilson, Ed Helms, I mean, you know, they're looking for their father. It could be interesting. A bunch of good supporting cast with Christopher Walken and J.K. Simmons and the rest of the bunch. I mean,
yeah, it's got a good cast.
Terry Bradshaw and
whatnot.
The
trailer was crude.
And maybe it's because, you know, a friend of mine's mom used to date Terry Bradshaw that I have like a further connection to this movie in a sense. You know, you never know.
Oh,
you never know. There's a lot of movies coming out next week.
A lot of good movies.
I still haven't seen Ferdinand yet. That cute little animated about the bull.
Yeah, I do want to see Ferdinand.
The flower from when... You know, the kids were kids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll see that one.
Yep, with John Cena. That's right. Mm-hmm. WWE's own John Cena. Yeah, no, I think Jason, because we told him...
Which
that,
John Cena does show up in the psych movie.
We thought The Last Jedi might be a little too intense for his five-year-old. We thought, you know, some of the scenes might be a little too intense. So we told him we'd probably have to take him to Ferdinand.
I think
so. We'll know more about that next week as well. All right, Kathy, well, I guess, Corey, you're here next week, right?
I'll be here.
Yeah, I know you'll be here.
I'll be here.
Do you know how to answer the phone, though, Casey?
No,
that's right.
I will not be here.
I thought
here.
You were going to be here Christmas Eve. You
oh, no.
New Year's Eve.
No, next
week you're
next
here.
Sunday is Christmas Eve. I will not be here.
I thought you said you'd be here Christmas, not New Year's.
Huh?
Now you lied to me off radio.
No, I told you.
You said we were going to have New Year's.
I said we were going to have a discussion about it, and I'll see
what
I can
do. Oh, you weren't sure if you're
going
to be here Christmas, but you're definitely not here New Year's.
I'm definitely...
Okay, so y'all are
hold on.
In the show next
now it's
week,
actually
though,
backwards, because I am back on... Because the New Year's party I was going to got canceled.
Oh. Well, we already kicked you off the show for New Year's, so we don't need you for that.
You're out of here.
Look, Kathy, I'll tell you what, you might have to call three times next week, because Corey and I aren't going to be here. But the show will go on, and they will know you are calling, but you might have to call two or three times before they realize.
Well, as long as the phones are working.
They should be. That's the other thing, right? Right?
I might come in. My husband had to drive down and knock on your door last week.
Yeah, right.
I might come in for the morning and then go pick up Allie and take her to, I don't know. I got to talk to Allie.
All right. You got to talk. We'll figure it out. But the show must go on. So it will go on. But I'm not going to.
I might show up down there.
There you go, Kathy. You come run the show.
Oh, no. I don't want to run. I just wanted to show up.
All right. Go check it out. HomeschoolMomMovieMaven.com. HomeschoolMomMovieMaven.com. Like I said, for all your movie reviews and other things as well. Like I said, Kathy, as always, have a beautiful Sunday. And
well, thank you. Thank you, sir. And God bless.
I'll talk to you in the new year. Everybody else talks to us sooner.
Enjoy the Christmas preparations and attending Mass and all the blessings that come with it.
That's right. And if you're looking for stuff, I need a new computer. All right.
Good to know.
Yeah, good to know. All right. Thank you, Kathy. All right. Well, like I just said, if you've got some Star Wars opinions you think you can give spoiler-free, you can call in 475-5678. That's right. Or if you've got anything you want to talk about sports-wise, that's right. We're about to talk with the pro wrestler.